Good as well. It's so good to be here and love the praise and worship this morning and just love being here with you guys. Again, a few new faces, I think, since last time I was here. So good job. And Easter Sunday, as Leon knows, is going to be a great opportunity to invite friends and for your friends to come and hear the good news of Jesus. And it's such good news, isn't it? Yeah. As I was preparing for today, I was just reminded of what great news the gospel is. We're going to talk about that today. So my son Corbin is 19 on Wednesday, on the 20th of March, which means that happy birthday, Family Church Waterside. You're 13 years old this Sunday. I don't know if you knew that or not, but you're 13 because it was on my son's sixth birthday, Sunday the 20th of March, 2011, that we had our first Sunday as Family Church here in the Waterside. He was not chuffed about coming here on his sixth birthday. I was like, looking at my daughter today, she's 8 years old. And I was like, wow, Corbin was 2 years younger than her when we started here. And now he's this gigantic 19-year-old. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You know, you've got kids that have grown up. And I've seen some of your kids grow up as well. And like, what happens? Where does time go? But it goes, doesn't it? And I'm reminded that we have limited time, don't we, on this earth. And then the glorious eternity awaits us. Praise God. I was just thinking, you know, God is moving. He is doing something. His river is running. And we can either try and swim against it or we can go with it. And my massive recommendation is that we go with it. Things just work out better when you go with the plan of God. And I'm not saying that there's not a few obstacles in the river sometimes. There's a few things that oppose the move of God, that oppose what God wants to do. But the very best thing that we can do is jump in the river and swim the direction that God is going and get caught up with what God's doing. I mean, I love that there's some of you in like five connect groups here. You're obviously caught up with what God's doing. even if you're in one connect group, you're caught up with what God's doing. You know, I love the passion for church that you guys have, which comes second to your passion for Jesus. And let's make sure Jesus is always the very center of what we're doing. Amen. Great. So I'm aware that I've got a big subject to talk about today, and as always, limited time. So I'm going to dig straight in to what we're sharing on today. So this is part five of our topic, which is Jesus Is, otherwise known as Christology. So this is part five, and today we're going to be talking about Jesus, the prophet, the priest, and the king. So just a small subject. So like I said, I'm going to get straight into it after I pray, because I need God's help. Lord, thank you that I don't say anything stupid today, or more than normal, at least. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for your anointing. I thank you, Lord, that what you have called, you have anointed. And I thank you for each and every person in this room today who has been called by you in so many different ways. Lord, in the work that we do, in our family settings, in our education, in our social settings, Lord, you've called us. You've called us to be your people that stand out in this world. Lord, you've called us to do things your way. And because you've called us, Lord, you have anointed us. Everything we need, all the empowerment, all the equipping that we need to be who you've called us to be comes from you. And we're so grateful for that, Lord. We're so grateful that at work tomorrow morning, Lord, we can be equipped by you. Lord, in our families this afternoon, Lord, in our family settings, Lord, we can be equipped by you. Lord, for those who are single, for those who have families, Lord, thank you, Lord, that in whatever setting, in our friendships, Lord, in our work, in our education, every setting, God, we are equipped by you. And so we just once again commit to being your people, Lord, who shine your light on this earth. Lord, your people who are salt in this earth. Lord, people who taste different, people who live differently for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Good. As a little mini sermon as I prayed there. Sorry about that. My mum always used to do that. She had little mini sermons when she'd pray around the dinner table. And we'd be like, oh, I think she's teaching us a lesson here. Another Bible lesson from Diana Payne. So It did us good, I think. It did us real good. So Jesus, so let's talk about Jesus is prophet, priest, and king. So what is a prophet? Well, a prophet is a whole load of money that you make when you do really well in business. But that's not what we're talking about. A prophet is God's representative to people. Okay, so a prophet is someone that represents God to people. One who brings revelation from God. The prophets in the Old Testament would bring messages from God that would help people understand the times that they were living in. A prophet in the Old Testament would also predict what would happen in the future or reveal what would happen in the future. And in the Old Testament, prophets were called seers. Now, one of those prophets was, of course, Moses. And God used him as a spokesperson to speak to his people. And of course, through Moses, the people of Israel were delivered from Egypt. So I want to talk about Jesus in each of these roles. Jesus holds the office or the position of a prophet. When Jesus walked on this earth, well, this is what Moses actually said. What God said through Moses about Jesus. Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. And for those of you that are making notes, this is also repeated in Acts chapter 3, verse 22, when they're talking about Jesus fulfilling this prophecy. So Deuteronomy 18, verse 18 says, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you, Moses, from them among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." So Jesus comes. Jesus, the Word of God. Remember, God is a triune God. He is three, yet one. He is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God steps into this world as God the Son, Jesus. And Jesus is the perfect revealing of what a prophet is, right? Jesus did all these miracles, and he fulfilled all these prophecies. Jesus spoke words of prophecy, which we'll talk about in just a second, and people recognized that Jesus was the fulfillment of these words in Deuteronomy 18:18. Another prophet would come. And so Jesus does this miracle, the feeding of the 5,000, and people are recognizing now that there's something special about this man, Jesus. And it says in John 6, verse 14, "Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did," that's the miracle of feeding the 5,000, "said, 'This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world.'" So we see that Jesus is the full manifestation of prophet in his life. He holds this office. He holds this role of prophet. He's the perfect prophet. Jesus gave revelation from God by forth-telling. Not foretelling, forth-telling, which is bringing messages from God and particularly explaining the present from God's perspective. But he also brought messages from God by foretelling, which is talking about predicting the future or revealing what will happen in the future. So Jesus perfectly forth-told, he also perfectly foretold, and also Jesus in himself was the quintessential revelation from God. Isn't that a cool word? Anyone know what it means? Well, it means the most perfect example. So Jesus in himself was God revealed to humanity, wasn't he? The Word of God. I mean, the clue is in the name. He is the Word of God, the logic, the wisdom, the very revealing of God to mankind. That's Jesus. His very being and life perfectly reflected God to mankind. So Jesus was the perfect prophet when he walked in this earth. And then, of course, Jesus went to the cross and he was buried and he rose from the dead and then ascended to heaven. And we understand that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen? That he has taken his rightful place as the King of Kings. And he always was the King of Kings, even when he walked on the earth. We'll talk about that in a minute. So Jesus continues to be the perfect prophet. So for each of these things, I'm going to talk about who Jesus was when he walked the earth, what he is now to us, and how we apply that to our lives. Okay? Okay. So Jesus continues to be the perfect prophet. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He has a position of authority and leadership over the church. He is the head of the body of Christ, us. We're the members of the body. He's the head of the body. He is the chief shepherd of the flock of God. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. And all the sheep said? Amen. Okay. And he has a voice into our lives. As the head of the body, we receive our direction from him. He's the perfect prophet. As the chief shepherd, we go his way because we hear his voice. And that's the application today on this one, is to know Jesus is to know the Father. He said, I and the Father are one, John 10, verse 30. So the Jehovah's Witnesses do not like that one. He said, I and the Father are one. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. Amen. So in terms of a prophet revealing God, the only way to know God is through Jesus, right? So he's the perfect prophet. So he's the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to hear God's truth, go to Jesus. Amen. Jesus wants to speak to us. Isn't that wonderful? That, and as his sheep, we can know his voice and we can hear his voice. John chapter 10 is a wonderful passage that reveals to me that Jesus loves his sheep, each one of us. And that passage is not just talking about the sheepfold of the Jewish people. It actually says that there will be other sheep in my sheepfold who are not of you. In other words, you know, we're so blessed, aren't we, that we have salvation through Christ, even though it once belonged only to the Jews. But they rejected Jesus, and so salvation was opened up to the entire global community, to the whole world. And we have relationship with God through Jesus. And we can know him as our shepherd. Amen? We can know him as our shepherd, the one who desires to direct us along still waters to green pastures. That's the plan of God for your life. He doesn't want you to live in weedy fields. He doesn't want you to walk along stagnant, smelly ponds. He wants you to walk beside still waters, fresh water. And he wants to take you into green pastures. And we can receive that as we follow his voice. Amen. And of course, the other thing about all of this is that in our lives, we don't just know Jesus as the perfect prophet, but actually he's called us to be prophets to this world. He's called us to be people who reveal God to people around us. that's our role. That's part of our role. Because those who know him can reveal him. Because I walk in relationship with God, I can reveal God to the people around me, right? And that starts with my family. I have to do a good job of revealing God to my family and to my friends and to my relatives and to those I work with, which fortunately I work at the family church office. So, most of them are okay. Most of them have, received Jesus. And I think they all have, actually. But it's a challenge for me, actually, to get out there more. One of the best places I meet non-Christians in my life is the school playground. As in, I don't go to school and sit in the playground. I take my daughter to school and I chat to other parents. Right. So, just to be clear. So, through our lives, God wants us to know him and to reveal him to the world around us. Amen? And as members of the body of Christ, we're called to prophesy. So the head of the body is Jesus. He speaks to us, and we have the privilege of speaking to others about him, revealing God to other people. Praise God. And, Jesus, when he established his church, he gifted people as prophets, but he also calls every member of the body to prophesy. And so prophecy is a thing. He's called us to be people who hear what he's saying and reveal it to others. Not just in the church as well, but in this world. If you have a word from God from someone in this world, that's going to impact their lives big time. Amen? And the Apostle Paul, when he writes in 1 Corinthians 14, says that we should pursue the gift of prophecy. He also says that we should earnestly desire the gift of prophecy, which tells me that this is a gift that we can all operate in. I feel like I'm going fast. The second thing I want to talk about, thank you. The second thing I want to talk about is this role of priest. So Jesus was the perfect prophet, and he is the perfect priest, or the perfect high priest. So what is a priest? So a prophet is God's representative to the people. A priest is the people's representative to God. Good. So in the Old Testament, the priests who would work in the temple, or the tabernacle, and then the temple, would come before God in the temple on behalf of the people, and they would offer animal sacrifices and worship offerings. The sins of the people were transferred onto those animals that were then sacrificed to pay the price for the sin as a substitute for the people. We understand from Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So mankind, we can't save ourselves. We can't live perfectly before God. We can't deal with this sin nature that we are born with. And the only way that this sin nature, this natural desire to walk away from God can be dealt with is through Jesus. Amen? Amen. And when you put your trust in Jesus, when you believe in Jesus, your heart is changed and you become a child of God. And your whole nature is changed. You receive the divine nature, the holy nature. And now you want to live for God. You've got to get your mind up to date with what's happened in your heart. But that's the way it works. Okay, so in the Old Testament, the priests would offer these animal sacrifices. Now, on the Day of Atonement, once a year in the Old Testament, the high priest would enter the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies, in the very center of the tabernacle or the temple. And the high priest's job was to sprinkle the blood of one perfect goat on the mercy seat that was part of the Ark of the Covenant in the temple. And it was all symbolic, and there's just not time to go into what all that means today. But the high priest would sprinkle the blood of a perfect unblemished goat on the mercy seat. And he'd have two goats, actually. The other one would be sent away, representing the sin of the people being taken away, removed from God's presence. And so on the Day of Atonement, it was like a reset day. The people were made right before God once again through this animal sacrifice. Again, the animal took the sin of the people, paid the punishment, and they were free from sin. Now, let's talk about Jesus. That's the best thing to talk about. When Jesus came to this earth, Jesus functioned as the perfect high priest. When Jesus went to the cross, he didn't, of course, offer an animal sacrifice. He offered himself as the unblemished Lamb of God. The unblemished Lamb of God. Remember John the Baptist said about Jesus, he said, "This is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." That's what he declared as he saw Jesus. And of course, the Lamb of God, actually that was representative of Passover, when the lamb was slaughtered and the angel of destruction passed over God's people. But when John said that takes away the sin of the world, he was referring to the Day of Atonement. So Jesus was both the goat and the lamb. He was the perfect sacrifice for all people and for all sin once for all. Amen? So Jesus was the high priest. He played that role of representing the people to God. And he himself was the sacrifice that was offered. And because it was Jesus, because it was the life of Jesus that was laid down for us, you put your faith in Christ, you are made right before God. It's like you died with him. You died with him. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. Amen? So Hebrews 9, verses 11 and 12. Let's just read this. Oh yeah, just one more thing there though. Just as the high priest in the Old Testament would enter this most holy place where God's presence was in the temple, Jesus has entered the most holy place in heaven and has made a way for us to step in to that most holy place in heaven, to share that place, to know the presence of God in our lives for eternity. Hebrews 9, verses 11 to 12 says this. So Christ now has become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven. So that in the Old Testament, the high priest would enter the tabernacle, the human tabernacle, the temple. But Jesus, it says, has entered that more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Praise God. So Jesus, both the high priest and the sacrifice, has made the way for us to stand in the presence of God, to know God's presence in our lives, even in this life and in the life to come. Let's talk about Jesus right now. So when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. It separated the presence of God, the most holy place, from the rest of the temple. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus, we now have access into God's presence. There is nothing that separates us from God. Sin has been dealt with. It's been dealt with. The moment you put your faith in Jesus, your sin was dealt with. It was removed from your life once and for all. Praise God. And you sit there saying, well, but I still do sins. Well, thank God for that sacrifice that covered all of your sins. Yeah. Sin has been dealt with. And yes, sometimes we still sin. And what's the best thing to do? Well, to remember that you're free from sin. To remember that you have been made holy before God. And yeah, and confess your sin. And repent of it. And move on. Because God doesn't see it. You have been washed as white as snow because of Jesus. Praise God. Okay, so. So as the perfect high priest, Jesus has led the way into the presence of God. Hebrews 9, verse 24 says, for Christ did not enter into a holy place made with human hands. So we're still referring back to this temple that was built by man. But he didn't enter into that place, which was only a copy of the true one in heaven. He entered into the very heavens when he appeared before God. It says he entered into heaven itself to appear now before God on our behalf. On our behalf. So as the high priest and as the sacrifice that was made for the sins of humanity, Jesus stands before the Father now. It says he to appear now before God on our behalf. He stands before the Father and says, it is finished. It is finished. It's done. I've dealt with the sin of humanity, and every person who puts their trust in Jesus, everyone who believes in him, is saved. We understand that no accusation made before God against us has any grounds because we are forgiven. Sin is washed from our lives. As high priest, Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father in the most holy place of heaven and speaks for us. And this is what it says in Romans 8, verse 34. It says, so who then will condemn us? No one. No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. In another version, it says that he makes intercession for us. In other words, he speaks on our behalf. Whenever accusation comes, Jesus says, no, it's finished, it's covered. It's dealt with, the sin is gone. Isn't that good to know? And sometimes the worst culprits for accusing us is us. is us. We condemn ourselves often. But the Apostle Paul here in Romans is saying, who's condemning us? No one should condemn us. You shouldn't even condemn yourself because the sin has been dealt with. Everything that once separated you from the presence of God has been dealt with by Jesus. Does that mean then just go and do what you like, live in sin? Of course it doesn't. Of course not. We're not stupid. The grace of God, we try not to be, but the grace of God is such that we are washed clean. And then Jesus says, like he said to the woman who was caught in adultery, he says, no one's condemning you. I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. Change the way you live in your life. Now glorify God in the way that you live your life because you've been cleansed. You've been changed. You're a representative of the kingdom of God now. You're a holy person. You're a priest yourself. And that's the thing, is that we need to remember what Jesus has done so that we can represent the people in our lives to God well. In other words, we can take them by the hand and say, look, you can have God's presence in your life. You just have to believe in Jesus. You just have to understand what Jesus has done in your life. We can know God's presence. Isn't it wonderful? I was 10 years old when I first felt God's presence. I felt God. I knew that God was real. Because for myself, I felt the presence of God. And still do. constantly, all the time, every day? No. But most of the time, it's when I shut out all the distractions of this world and I set my heart on worshipping Jesus and I know God's presence. And that's the thing about this life, is that we can experience in part all that God has for us. And actually, I think monks have got it right sometimes, and nuns where they shut themselves away and there's no one else to disturb them because like they're really enjoying God's presence, but maybe they're not being the ambassadors of God's kingdom that they're meant to be. But anyway, I can understand why people do that sometimes. Shuts out all the distractions. Anyway, in Hebrews 10, it says this. Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 22. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly... Not bold, but bold. I can't say it now. Not boldly, but boldly. Enter. Stay focused, Stuart. Okay, let's start again. So, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and living way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. And our bodies have now been washed with pure water. So we can boldly come into God's presence. In fact, God calls us collectively and individually. He calls us his temple. In fact, he desires to fill his temple with his presence. We read about that in Ephesians 2, where it says that we're being built together as living stones with Christ as the cornerstone into a living temple of God that God is filling with his presence. In 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 6:19, these aren't on the screen, but God says, do you not know that you are a temple of the living God? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God. Again, there's another that emphasizes again that we're not just saved from sin, but we're called to live free from sin. Glorify God in your body. When we leave the confines and restrictions of this natural world, when we die, we will step into the most holy place in heaven, knowing completely and perfectly God's presence. I love this verse in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. It says, now, everyone say now. So it's talking about now. We see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then, that's when we die, when we leave this physical body, then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. I love that. So the truth is that because we live in this natural world, there are confines, there are restrictions, but we can still know God's presence. But we're going to know the perfect and complete version of God's presence when we leave this earth, when we die. God has called us to bring people to him. As I said just now, we're called to be priests in other people's lives. We're called to say, hey, Jesus made the way. He is the perfect sacrifice. Come with us. Find God's presence in your life because there is nothing like it. Amen? I haven't got a watch or anything. All right. Thanks. And Jesus, let's talk about him, the king. So we talked about prophet, priest, and king. What is a king? Well, we kind of know what a king is, don't we? One who rules over a kingdom, one who has rulership and authority within a specific domain or sphere. So Jesus holds the office of a king. When Jesus walked on this earth, let's read about what happened when Jesus left heaven to walk on this earth. Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11 says this. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery. That always confused me. So that means something to be held on to. So did not consider it something to be held on to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, so this is talking about Jesus stepping into this world, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has also has highly exalted him and given him the name, which is above every other name. I'm adding words. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So there's a lot to this. But when Jesus stepped out of heaven to step into this world, he left behind the majesty of heaven. But he never left behind his position of authority. He remained the king of the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. Amen? When Jesus walked on this earth, he walked as a servant king. He was both the Son of God and the Son of Man, right? He walked in a world that was under the authority of the devil, Satan, but he was never subject to Satan because he was of another kingdom, right? He brought the kingdom of heaven with him, which is why so many times he would say to people, the kingdom of heaven has come near to you. When he did miracles, when people were delivered of demons, he would say, the kingdom of heaven has come near to you. He brought the kingdom of heaven with him and gave access to the kingdom of heaven to all who believe. Right? John chapter 3, Jesus explains it to Nicodemus. Unless you're born again, you can't access the kingdom of heaven or enter the kingdom of heaven. But when you put your faith in Jesus, your spirit is made alive to God, you're born again or born of God, and you have access to God's kingdom. You are now part of another kingdom. Do you know that today? You are now part of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Yes, we still live in this world. We still live in this world where the devil is, let's be honest, he's having a field day. There's a lot of damage that's been done by the devil and by man because of the fall. But we are part of another kingdom. So right now, through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, what happened? Well, Satan was stripped of all authority. Love that passage in Colossians 2 where it talks about the principalities and the powers. Jesus made a spectacle of them. So those who put their faith in Christ and bow the knee to Jesus, and that's many of us in this room today, those who put their faith in Christ, the King of Kings, and no longer under the authority of Satan. Yes, the earth is still his domain, Satan's domain. But like Jesus, when Jesus stepped into this world, he was of another kingdom. Well, we have joined that kingdom. We are of another kingdom now. And so therefore, we are not under the authority of Satan. But we need to know who we are, don't we? We need to remember that we're children of God, that we're members of the kingdom of God, and that we're not subject to the authority of Satan in this world. We live under the authority of Jesus. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and Jesus has promised to return to establish his kingdom of righteousness. And at that point, Satan will be cast out of the earth, and all the kings and all the kingdoms of this world will bow their knee to Jesus, which is what that passage there really is talking about. It's talking about the future. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Right now, we choose to bow our knee before Jesus. We become part of his kingdom. But in the day when Jesus returns, every knee will bow before him. So if you put your faith in Jesus, make sure you are bowing your knee before him. And I'm not talking about getting down on your knees. For some of you, that's impossible. But I'm talking about bowing your heart before him. Amen? So we belong to the kingdom of God now. Jesus isn't a dominant king who forces you to live his way. You have to choose to do that. But when you do live his way, you become subject to the grace and the blessings of the kingdom of God. And we are representatives of his kingdom in this world. Again, not got time to talk about how we're ambassadors of God's kingdom, but we are. We're children of the King of Kings. That makes us royalty, and we represent the King in this world. Amen. And in the future kingdom of righteousness that Jesus will set up, we will reign with Jesus. We read about that in the first few chapters of Revelation, how we, God's people, will reign with Jesus. And those who are faithful in this life will be given even greater realms of rulership and authority in the future kingdom. So I want to be a faithful person, not because I'm going to get authority, you know, over others, but because I just want to be faithful to what God's called me to in this life. So that's it. just want to finish by saying, so Jesus is the perfect prophet, the perfect priest, and the perfect king. And God loves you. God wants relationship with every single person here. He wants to speak into your life. Jesus wants to speak into your life as the perfect prophet. Jesus wants you to have access to the Father, to the very presence of God, because he's the high priest. And Jesus wants you to be part of his kingdom. He's the king. And the first step to become part of the kingdom of God, to step out of the authority of the devil in this world, and to know the peace and the joy and the righteousness of God's kingdom in your life, the first step is to believe in Jesus. So just as we finish today, I just want to pray a prayer to invite anyone here who has never said yes to Jesus, to pray this prayer with me and say, Jesus, be king of my life, be Lord of my life. Would you bow your heads? Let's close our eyes and let's pray this prayer between us individually and God. And I'd love you to just to pray out loud together as we do this. Say, dear Father, I accept that I cannot live up to your perfect standard, and I repent of my sin. Thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price for my sin. I believe that you forgive me and you make all things new. I surrender to you and I want to take your path for my life. So please fill me with your Holy Spirit and empower me to live a life that honors you. Thank you for loving me. Amen. Would you just keep your heads bowed just for a minute? If you prayed that prayer today, oh, you've just made your peace with God. You've just become a child of God. the God who has always loved you, who has always had a plan for your life. Now you're a recipient of his love and you can walk in his plan. If that's you today, you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you've been away from God and you've made the decision to start walking with him again, would you just do one more thing today? Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Be bold, be brave, and raise your hand and say, yeah, that's me. Awesome. You can lift your heads up. Let's stand together as we just finish today. I'd just love to pray for all of you this morning. And I'll pass back to you, Pastor Paul. Father, I just thank you for Family Church, for each one of these just amazing people. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're for us and you're with us. And if our God is for us, then what can stand against us? And we're very aware of that, Lord, that we are so privileged and so blessed to know you. Lord, help us to be in other people's lives, prophets, people that bring your message to others. Help us to be people who are like priests, people that lead others to you. And help us to be like kings. Help us to represent you and your kingdom really, really well, so that people see what we've got and want what we've got. Father, I thank you for the empowerment of your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that as long as we have breath in our lungs, in this life, you've called us. Lord, you have a plan. You have a purpose. And I thank you, Lord, that looks different for each person here. Lord, help us to know your plan and to walk in your plan. Lord, we just commit our lives to you, your church to you, Lord, this day to you. Thank you for your blessing. Amen.